Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in... Three Body Problem. One year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. It's Monday. We got a big game tonight. First game of the playoffs.
Game home time.
God, I can't wait. I can't wait to see Maria's dad in the cupcake or sprinkle or candy factory or whatever.
Already face playing, looking like looking like a creep through the window. Love that.
Taking Joey around his candy factory like Willy Wonka. I can't wait.
I really hope they lean into it and he is eccentric like Willy Wonka. Yeah.
He's wearing like a top hat and has a cane. Will he be, however, the Timothy Chalamet Wonka, or will he be the Gene Wilder Wonka? Or will he be the Johnny Depp Wonka?
I hope for Chalamet.
I hope for Gene Wilder because he was the best Wonka. I think we can all agree upon that because he brought to the performance a hint of evil. You never knew if that Willy Wonka was going to murder people or not.
Right. In my mind, I hadn't seen the movie in a long time, and I did think that he had killed all the kids.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they weren't dead.
I mean, they lead you to believe that, and then in the end, it turns out they're all fine. But he had. There's a scene in that. I mean, I don't know why we're now just going off on this, but might as well. there's a scene in that Gene Wilder one where he is... They're in a river of chocolate and they're on this little boat and it turns into like an LSD nightmare and there are shots of his face and he just looks like Satan. He's like an original Dark Lord Wonka.
I really hope Maria's dad does that.
Me too. Maria's dad, please take us on an LSD nightmare trip down a chocolate river. Please do that.
I mean, you gotta have a chocolate river in the sprinkles factory.
Yeah, if he don't have that, he don't have a candy factory in my opinion. You just got a building. Now, let's... move on to what we came here to do. We are, of course, doing
Digging Deeper.
We got a bunch of fantastic clips in today's Digging Deeper. We got clips from Off the Vine. You know that podcast. That's Caitlin Bristow. She had some special guests on named Braden Bowers and Christina Mandrell. Maybe you've heard of them. We got some clips from Us Weekly's Here for the Right Reasons. We got some clips from Almost Famous. We got clips from Spidey's 16th Minute with a very special guest, the great one. We, of course, have some clips from the Vial Files. We got clips from She's All Batch with McKenna Dorn, maybe the greatest face player who has ever graced our beloved game. And she is issuing some insane contract violations about her time on BIP. Essentially, we're
Last Stand strikes back.
Wrongful imprisonment territory is where we get to with McKenna Dorn. And we, of course, yes, are going to round out today's episode with the most dramatic podcast ever. And Will You Accept This Rose? A very good clip with Katie Thurston as the guest. So are you ready, Pace Case, to dig in?
Yes, let's go.
All right. This first clip comes to us from Off the Vine. The guests were, again, Braden Bowers and Christina Mandrell. This was from February 13th. In this clip, Braden discusses his new job and how some of the people at his new place of employment are big Bachelor fans and recognized him. Here we go.
He's nursing here now, and the job that he got is at like a prison, like a death row inmate.
Oh yeah,
I'm
working
thing.
At like a maximum.
But wait, but what? So you need to know this, because did you know we have a whole fan Hot? Base there of Bachelor?
Yeah, so prisoners.
Did I come do a podcast?
Probably.
Honestly, actually, I don't know if they'll let you, but that would actually be wild.
There's a few of the people actually these are on Netflix thing, so surely yeah, maybe
these guys know the show. I like no, I no, came no, into no. the unit, and I mean, I didn't have my earring, because you can't wear your earrings at the jail, yeah. like. So Shame. I come in, like, and I'm not even wearing a name tag, because, like, I really don't want these guys to know my name, because it's like, I mean, they still have ties. Like, these guys are...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're criminal. They're like...
Yeah, and they have connections in the outside world.
Yes.
No, this is not, and like, so, a jail. This is prison.
This is prison. Like, maximum security. These guys, Holy serial shit. Killers, like, murderers.
And
like,
they're Bachelor fans?
Yeah, some of them aren't that bad, but yeah, they came biggest. In and they're like... Holy shit, that's the dude off The Bachelor. Uh-huh. They're like, dude, they're like, you are a paradise. They're
way.
Like, they're like, bro, you look like a bitch when you cried. And I'm like, uh-huh.
I knew him immediately and remembered everything. But then,
yeah,
but
they're like, why didn't you fight those guys when they pressed you in the van? I'm like, well, you can't, man. And they're like, you tucked your tails and ran. They're like, you should have effed them
so
up,
like,
man.
So, like, referencing Paradise, dude. His season, but then even says, but nah, that's okay.
Oh, yeah. They're like, yeah, you cried like a bee, but it's all good because you got a fine girl now. And they're like, they're like, please tell me you're getting in that every night. And I'm like, I can't disclose this, guys.
I'm like, you just say what you gotta say, man.
Oh my God. What an incredible first clip.
I know. Starting
Tells
off in the bag.
Whole story.
Braden Bowers in a, I guess, maximum security prison where all the prisoners watched The Bachelor and knew who he was.
Not only watched The Bachelor, are following who he's currently with. I mean, I guess they did put it at the end of BIP.
Following who he's currently with, yeah. They're looking at him on Instagram. And Golden.
What, they watch the Golden Wedding, you think?
You think these motherfuckers watch BIP Season 9, but not the Golden Wedding? 100% they watch Golden.
Speed agree. Fine. The image of people watching this in a maximum security prison is something I never thought about.
No, I agree. It's something I literally never thought about either. But our beloved game is good.
And that they recognize him without his Dangle Nation accessory.
Yeah, and that they gave him shit for not beating up whoever he was in a fight with. Who was that season? Aaron B, maybe? Right? Yeah. Aaron Bryant.
Oh, yeah. Aaron. When Aaron is talking to him when he's in the bus.
Yeah. They're like, why didn't you just kill that guy, dude? Oh, that's murder. That's why you're in jail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is a fascinating clip, to be sure. Good luck to Braden Bowers in this new endeavor, and I hope it all goes well.
Sounds intense. I hope it goes well as well.
Let's move on to our next clip. This one comes to us from Us Weekly's Here for the Right Reasons. The guest was Molly Mesnick. This was from February 13th. In this clip, they're discussing Lexi's one-on-one with the priest, and Molly reveals that not only did they edit out Jason Mesnick's Jewish heritage on his season, but they were banned from doing any Jewish traditions during their wedding. That was the broadcast. Here we go.
Some people on social were upset by the fact that they had the priest kind of talk about how children complete a marriage and then have her go into the fact that she might not have kids, not be able to have kids in the traditional way. But she seemed like cool with the priest. Like she didn't seem offended or like anything, whatever. Yeah, but there was people talking about that.
Maybe something they discussed with the two of them prior to doing it. Like, would you be comfortable if we brought a priest in? But I get putting it on TV. There's, and it's actually surprising from The Bachelor because there's so much they shield from everyone as far as, you know, like diversity and religion and whatnot. Like, for example, Jason's Jewish. And for our wedding, they wouldn't let us do anything that like was religious or anything. Like, we are not showing any of that on TV. So, I mean, obviously times have changed and they're getting a little bit better about things. But it is surprising they allowed that conversation to air.
Pretty interesting. I mean, we know that our beloved game is highly Christian, if nothing else. And by the way, if you're watching the season of Love is Blind with me in Clues Corner or anywhere else, it's all Christian. Everybody on this season is highly Christian. I don't know if that, I kind of like was thinking about it in one of the Clues Corners recently and just talking about like, is that something, like does Christianity and these kind of like love games overlap?
It corresponds.
It really does, right?
Getting married fast.
Yeah.
Believing in like fate.
Yes. And the regimented structure of things. Christianity has a very regimented structure.
Getting married young too.
Yeah, getting married young, having kids, all of that is like part of the Christian doctrine, at least usually. You know, obviously there are different variations of it. But this is very interesting to hear. We obviously knew that they had edited out some stuff in season 13, that was Mesnick's season, of, you know, different Jewish traditions and stuff. But they are clearly willing to highlight and even get a bystander to come in who is of the Christian faith on an important one-on-one date. But at least in season 13, again, that's, you know, it's many years ago at this point, but still, I would maintain that they wouldn't show a Jewish marriage. I would maintain that they still would not show that kind of stuff, that it's Christian or nothing. That's my personal belief in it.
I mean, have we seen a rabbi ceremony of the ancients?
God, have we? I don't think so.
I feel like no. And we have not seen an inauguration speech be a Jewish prayer. Like Matt James was Christian.
Yeah, or satanic. We've seen no satanic representation in our entire program.
What about the woman who wore the devil's teeth or the vampire teeth?
Oh, God. What season was that?
I want to say Womack.
I think it was too. Yeah, a woman came out of the limo wearing like fake monster teeth. I did like that.
I felt like that was the satanic representation, or it was at least coded that way.
Well, we have seen certain kind of like pagan representations. We've seen, obviously, there was the 2-on-1 in season 21 between Taylor Nolan and Corinne Olympios that had a voodoo element. We have seen, I forget what season it was.
What about Claire Crawley's season, the burning of the effigy?
Burning of the effigy. That was very paganistic. We did see, I forget which season it was, but there was, a one-on-one date, or maybe it was a group date where they went into like a witch's room and she did like a...
Oh, there was a love witch in Boston.
Love witch in Boston. That was it. So we have seen witchcraft, but these things are primarily presented as jokes. They don't take them seriously at all. It's like they get fool edits and stuff. Whereas this priest, this was a serious moment where they're talking about children and that you have to name your kid this. And
asking if they're going to procreate. Again, like an element which is just like you maybe need context to that, because if we've just seen this PTC, I don't know. I just don't think asking anyone about their baby plans is a good idea.
I agree. Except that's part of what the show is. They have to have these conversations because we have to believe they're really trying to have a relationship together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
With a person you're dating, okay.
Yeah. But the inclusion of religion in it, and only a specific religion, at least in Bachelor, but also it seems, you know, I don't think Love is Blind would have a problem with representing different religions. And I think they have done it to some degree, but it just happens that like I guess it's regional, like the region they shot season 6 in.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Is extremely Christian. That area is like very, very Christian. So everybody on that show.
Source Boys.
I mean, I don't even think Source is as religious as like those places are. Dallas is more of a, you know, mega church, Joel Osteen's Houston, but like Dallas is more of a kind of like Righteous Gemstones type religion, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. we'll say we're Christian.
Worth the wait.
Exactly. And we'll put, but I guess, yeah, they do have Pruitt now, Texas.
Mm-hmm. That's a big get. Only billionaire.
That is a big get. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. We have now another clip from Almost Famous. This was February 13th. In this clip, Ben Higgins issues a contract violation and discusses how the group date winners are selected. Thank you, Ben Higgins, for your service. Here we go.
Autumn getting picked as the winner of the group date. It really made me feel like, oh, the person that's hosting the date is choosing the winner for him. There's nothing about him whispering to producers being like, I want it to be her.
I never got to do that.
Really?
I never got to say, hey, I mean, sometimes it was obvious. It would be an athletic performance. And
well, sometimes it's a win. Like, yeah, because when I won the tractor date, I actually won the race.
Yeah, but when it's subjective, like, it's up to somebody else. I don't even know who would have chosen.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of stinks. You're like, this is
I always considered the winner of the challenge on the group date to sort of be like the runner-up for the rose.
No.
The group date rose.
Not even close.
No.
Not even close.
But I mean, I knew with Autumn that wasn't the case, and then I knew with Jess that wasn't the case. So, well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, I never remember getting any say when there was a judge or somebody else. You know, sometimes I always felt like they were, the judges maybe were influenced because it would play into a storyline. But then there were moments where I'd be like, no, there was no influence there. This makes no sense. How is this person the one winning this day? This is confusing.
Let's go.
Yeah. So this is a pretty heavy contract violation. Something we've talked about a lot that like when you're in those group dates and somebody wins, even the group date rose, they're not talking about that here. They're just talking about winning the group date. If it's a race or a, you know, he even says an athletic activity or whatever, athletic performance. We call that an athletic endeavor.
Oh, those are objective, but he literally refers to the subjective wins.
Yeah, which is like pageants, painting competitions, making a little piece of art, doing a poem, doing a stand-up routine. And he says that he had no input on the group date winners, and he doesn't even think judges do, and he doesn't know why they selected some of them. I can tell you why. I can literally tell you why they select who they select.
Mm-hmm.
It is to piss someone else off.
Yes.
Every time. That's it. That's the only reason. It's to make whoever's like closest to the edge, whoever's closest to having a nervous breakdown, they will select that person's biggest rival or best friend or whatever.
Whoever's the only civilian on the show.
Exactly. Exactly. All of those group date wins are positioned to either take that civilian and put them in a place of false security, like, oh, we're going to give them the win. Now they think they're on the top of the mountain, and then they don't get the group date rose, and they go fucking nuts. That's exactly why they do it every time. But to hear Ben Higgins just spilling this tea, this is a massive contract violation. To say that the bachelor or bachelorette, in this case, whoever, the lead, has no say in who wins a group date, holy shit.
And neither do the judges.
Yeah, exactly.
The judges aren't there for any reason.
Yeah. It's only Dark Lord Harrison.
Just the color commentary.
Fuck. You know, we're in this era right now where all these players just are like, it's contract violation, contract violation, contract violation.
I mean,
all the time, every day. It's nuts. But I think we're just in that era now.
When's the last time someone got sued?
Blake Horstman, I think.
Oh, yeah.
When
was that?
A couple of years ago. It was basically when he came out very publicly and was like trying to discourage players from going into paradise.
Yeah, called him opposite life coaches.
Yeah, the opposite life coach moment. And then they fucking came after his ass for that. And I believe they sued Luke Parker maybe not even a year prior to that. And I think those were the last two, at least that I have knowledge of. But they're not really suing. I don't think they would stand to gain anything from suing like Ben Higgins. He's beloved in the nation.
They can't sue Ben Higgins. And I think that's part of why he's doing this is he's like, I'm beloved in the nation. They're never going to come for me. That's like coming for their show.
Yeah. But it's also like not, he's not fucking with anything contemporarily. Horstman was like, don't go on the next season of Bachelor in Paradise. He was like actively trying to destroy the show, or maybe he wasn't trying to, but like the effect of what he was saying did have some detrimental effect on them being able to cast the next season. The what Higgins is just like talking about season 20, 8 years ago, like you gonna sue him for that? No. So I think there is a time period. There's like a moratorium that releases itself at a certain point in these players' minds. It's like, I'm just talking about something that was my experience 10 fucking years ago. Who cares?
Well, the Mesnys too, it's like,
yeah,
they're untouchable as well. So
yeah, absolutely. But I also do think that the kind of attitude in reality TV generally is shifting drastically in terms of being able to do contract violations. And I think it's because of Love is Blind. What we are seeing this season is, I mean, it just keeps getting crazier every season in terms of the episodes come out on Wednesday, Thursday morning. Every player has a fucking Instagram reel or a TikTok being like, that's not how it went. This, they fucking edited this to make me look shitty and they left this out and they left this out and that's not really. And none of those players, to my knowledge, are getting sued, even though their contract is very similar to the Bachelor one. And I'm sure there's a clause in there that says you can't reveal producing practices, which is exactly what that is. But none of them are getting sued so far. Instead, it's the other way around. Many of them are suing Kinetic Content and Netflix.
Well, yeah. I mean, if what you're saying is coming up about wrongful imprisonment, I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah. I look, the McKenna Dorn thing that you're going to hear near the end of this, digging deeper, is it's fucking eye-opening. It is really, it is a contract violation that we haven't quite heard in this way before, but we will get to it. Right now, however, we are going to hear our first clip from the Great One, of course. This is a clip from Spidey's 16th minute. Their guest was Nick Viall. This was from January 31st. In this clip, the Great One explains that he doesn't, in quotes, participate in the Bachelor stuff anymore, and he tries to limit how much Bachelor stuff he does. That's right. He's telling us the truth here. He's being truthful. So hold on to your hats and let's take a listen. If you want to hear this clip with the Great One talking about, I don't even know who he's trying to convince about this, but he's basically trying to say he doesn't do anything with The Bachelor anymore.
Does he not recap the show?
Yes, he fucking does. If you want to hear this clip and all of these other clips from this Digging Deeper and all of our Digging Deepers and get in that Clues Corner and that Pace Case Palapa and join that Discord and send in your screams and get every episode that we do ad free on our Patreon, you just go to patreon.com/gameroses. Join us in the bottom of the pit.
It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you want to eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you want to eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in 3 Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.